Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Wednesday. It'll be a fun hour here talking Braves baseball. Brad Childress is going to join us later in the hour, the new head coach of the Atlanta Legends of the AAF. Talked to him about the quarterback draft last night where the Atlanta Legends took former Georgia star Aaron Murray, who's going to be back on the football field in Atlanta coming up in about 10 weeks or so.
Yeah, he's excited. Saw him on a little video last night. He's excited about being back home in the A, playing football. Getting another opportunity, man. Getting another opportunity.
Aaron Murray talked about it last night after being drafted by the Legends.
What's up, Atlanta? I'm excited to be a Legend. It's going to be a great time with Brad Childress and Michael Vick. We're going to have a lot of fun. Can't wait to see you guys out there. Go Legends.
Go Legends. And tomorrow, Aaron Murray will be on the show with us. We'll talk about the Legends. We'll also have to get him on Georgia, Florida, too. I mean, Georgia, Alabama. What am I talking about? Georgia, Alabama as well. Boy, every seems like every team in town is making big news. And, of course, the Atlanta Braves, the big news they made, a couple of big acquisitions, Josh Donaldson at third base and Brian McCann returning to catch for the Atlanta Braves. And we are welcoming into the program on the waitfor.com hotline this morning the old and new catcher of the Atlanta Braves, Brian McCann, joins John and Hugh.
Morning, Brian. Thank you. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. So, Brian, seriously, man, what made you take less money to come back to Atlanta?
Just sleep in my own bed. Sleep in my own bed and just to get done traveling and be home with the kids. And it's just a perfect fit. You know, I wasn't I was over traveling, and I'm glad to be back home.
Well, you know, you wound your way through New York and ended up in Houston. You got a ring out of the whole deal, which isn't a bad deal, and became a World Series champion. And now you get a chance to come home, Brian, and kind of end your career with the Atlanta Braves. At least that would be kind of, I guess, the game plan here. And we are thrilled to have you back. I know the fans' reaction, you know, on social media was nothing but really positive.
Nothing but love. Nothing but love.
Yeah. It's been great. I mean, like I said, this is where I grew up. I went to high school, grew up a huge Braves fan, and my kids are at that age where school starts, and it was a perfect fit. And you know, I'm really excited to be back.
Well, so Brian, when you look at this team, and I know that they need pieces, but on the outside looking in, do you feel that in the next couple of years that this team can contend? And if they can, what are some of the pieces that you feel that they need in order to make that happen?
I 100% think that they're on the brink of championship caliber team. And what you need is you need the young guys to take that next step and, you know, become, you know, just keep getting better and better. Where if you're, you know, a number three star, you can go to a number two star. Just keep getting better each year, and you sprinkle some veterans in on that. And then you got the cornerstone with Freddie Freeman. You know, that's how you win a championship. I mean, you have to have the young guys keep getting better. And then everybody perform and stay healthy. And I think that the Atlanta Braves, we're right there to do that.
Brian McCann returning to the Atlanta Braves, joining John and Hugh this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's this version of Brian McCann? What's going to be your number one offering to this team now?
I still have a lot left. Last year was, you know, I was stuck behind the eight ball from day one. I should have got the surgery after the World Series. But, you know, the MRI didn't show that the meniscus was torn as bad as it was. And, you know, I elected not to get it. So I still have a lot left. I mean, 2 years ago, I almost hit 20 homers in 2017 and had a productive year. And that's where I feel like I'm going to be. I feel like I'm going to be more back to 2017, if not better, this year.
So here's the big question, I think, Brian, that we all kind of wonder about with this club right now. You won a World Series in Houston. This team is modeled kind of after the Houston Astros. Do you see that in this team?
100%. They're athletic. They're explosive. They got pitching. You know, from what I hear, the chemistry is off the charts with the team, and I think that's a big deal. So, yeah, they're right on the cusp of greatness. And you know, last year they over exceeded expectations by winning 90 plus games, going to the playoffs, and like I said, I'm very, very happy to be a part of that now.
Do you feel like, you know, coming here and being from here and being one of the original baby Braves, that that now, you know, you're talking about coming off of surgery and getting healthy, that you're going to be under a little bit of pressure to you know, get back to that form that you once had?
I mean, I wouldn't use the word pressure. I mean, I show up on a daily basis to perform, and you know, I leave no stone unturned. I put a lot of work into my career, and so I'm fully confident that I'm going to come out and I'm going to be a very productive baseball player for this team.
So when you were gone, what was one of the biggest things that you missed about being here in Atlanta? Like, you put your finger on one thing. What did you miss the most about being here in the A?
You know what? Number one, being sleeping in my own bed and being around my friends and family. You know, being gone for 7 months and then coming back. I mean, that's tough. That's number one. And then number two, I think the relationships that I built down, you know, with the Atlanta Braves. When I went down there after I signed, I saw a lot of familiar faces, and they just brought back a lot of memories. You know, I'm an Atlanta Brave through and through, man. I grew up idolizing these guys, Chipper Jones, John Smoltz, Tom Glavin, got a chance to be their teammate. So I've had a very, very lucky career.
Brian McCann joining John and Hugh. Did you ever think you'd ever be able to come home?
You know what? A lot of things have to happen right. And, you know, Suzuki had a chance to go out there and get a multi-year deal. They were looking for a catcher with Tyler Flowers there, right-handed, me being left-handed. Like I said, the stars aligned, and it was a perfect fit.
I have a couple of quick questions I want to throw at you. Just one statement and see how you react, okay?
Yep.
This is Brian McCann. First one, Ronald Acuna.
Phenom.
And
he's an absolute phenom.
What is it, Brian? You've seen a lot of these guys. You saw Andrew. You saw Chipper. You saw these guys.
Yeah,
come up.
I told someone this. I mean, he's got the actions of. He's the sky's the limit for this guy. He's got everything you want in a baseball player. He can fly. He's got power. He's just got it all. You know, he has it all, and that swing, you can't teach that swing. It's perfect.
And the other one I have is SunTrust Park. What's your impression?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We got to play there in 2017, two games. And, you know, it was one of my favorite parks that I played in. So I'm looking forward to that being my home field.
Talking with Brian McCann about the Braves and what they have in store with the return of number 16, return of Brian McCann to the Braves.
Yeah, you know, we were talking earlier, and Josh Donaldson, if he clears his physical, what could potentially he bring to the table?
He's been one of the best players in the last 5 years. I mean, this guy's been, he won the MVP, and I played a lot against him with the Yankees when he was with Toronto. And, when he's healthy, he's as good as anybody in the game. So to have him and Freddie Free hit back-to-back, whichever order they decide to go in, that's going to be – you know, a very powerful middle-of-the-order duo.
Brian, I know my partner kind of alluded to it a lot. You wore number 16 when you were here. You wore number 16. Are you going to try to get your number back, and do you have a number in mind that you're going to, you know, be willing to pay to, in order to make that happen?
Yeah, I got 16 back. And
you got it back, you know, already?
I got it back already. I called Charlie Culberson and got it back, and he was very nice about it, and I'm going to buy him something nice.
How much did it set you back, though, if you don't mind telling us?
I don't know yet. I got to figure out what I'm going to get him yet. I mean, I got to put some thought into it.
Oh, so you get to get a gift. You don't have to, like, you can just get him a nice gift.
Yeah.
I say.
New car.
You want me to get cold hard cash?
No, you know what? Because I was in the same situation. I had to, when I would play for the Eagles, I had to buy my jersey back, and I gave up 10 grand. I'm not telling you, you know, I'm not telling you what to do with your money.
No, that's what I had to do. The same thing when I went to Houston. I bought a watch for somebody.
Okay, that's a nice gift. That's a nice gift. Something like that. Or maybe a scooter or something like that.
I'm going to do it nice.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal. But I'm glad you got your number back, man. That was big because I know my partner, he was worried about that, you know. He's a big Braves fan. He was worried whether or not you're going to get your number back.
Yeah, I got it back, man. I'm It means a lot to me, you know. So that was the first number I ever wore, and I wore it for 9 years. So I was going to do whatever it took to get it back.
Yeah, 16 Brian McCann jerseys is going to be all over the place. Final question for me, Brian. We appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us here this morning with John and Hugh. I got to ask you, what's it going to feel like? We talked about returning and coming home at SunTrust Park and whatnot. What's it going to feel like to you opening day when you're either, you know, on the field or in the dugout, and that and the chop as a member of the Braves now, and the chop begins?
Yep. You know what? Ever since I signed the contract, that's all I've been thinking about is that moment, because I've got a chance to come back here and play a couple times, but I spent a lot of great years here. I'm from here. And to go back, I can't wait to see what the reception's like. I can't wait to for that moment.
Yeah, and by the way, I'd be remiss, Brian, as a catcher, not to ask you, and pardon me for adding to that, you know, your impression of this young pitching staff. This team was built on, or at least right now, kind of on the backs of the concept of you know, getting every number one pitching prospect in the world for 5 or 6 years, yeah. And now they're starting to come to the fore.
Yep. I can't wait. I mean, that's a big reason. That's another big reason I wanted this fun. I mean, I feel like I have a lot to offer. I feel like I can help in a lot of ways. And, you know, I'm going to watch a lot of film on these guys before we even get to camp so I can have a good idea of kind of how I can help them. So I got to get down to the ballpark and watch the film and get to know these guys a lot better, and that's what I'm going to do over the next 2 months.
Well, Brian, great to have you back in town. Obviously, chop on, and thrilled that you are part of the Atlanta Braves again.
And I'm glad you get to sleep in your own bed, because that was a big deal to you.
That's a big deal to me, man. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Brian.
See you guys during here.
All right.
Brian McCann joining us on the WaveFord.com hotline. So I already got his number back. That's good.
Yeah, he wastes no time with that. He wastes no time at all.
He went into that. $10,000? Really? Wow.
Yeah, that
was that a negotiation or was just an offer?
No, that's what, you know, it was Mark Seminole. Uh-huh. When I went back to Philly, he had my number. And cats had already told him, like, yeah, Hugh coming back to get his number. And they did it like, you know, I was going like Debo. But I said, hey, man, I'm willing to pay for it. And I gave him some money for it, and I was able to get it back. So that was that.
Don't worry. We're going to ask you why you asked him that particular question.
I know.
Out something else in that question.
Yes. We're going to roll out a new segment in Hugh's World.
Okay.
Today. We're going to roll it out.
All right. All right. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Okay. Shout out to my man, AT and Daryl.
Okay.
For coming up with this concept.
All right. Well, this will be a surprise to me. Yeah, McCann, some of the people, Brian McCann is too old and he's broken down. Well, first off, he just told you, if you listen to the interview, that he admitted that last year he should have had surgery right after the World Series. He didn't. He's healthy again. And Brian McCann's value to this team will be as a spot catcher, as a pinch hitter, and as a mentor to these young pitchers. He's talking about being able to go down and spend time in film and go down to camp. These young catchers, these young pitchers, Hugh, are going to be able to – you cannot undersell the value of a veteran catcher who knows how to frame pitches, call a game, and handle pitchers. That is a value in catching that is not in the stat sheet.
And not only that, he comes with that World Series win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that right there, that's huge. That is big time right there.
Yeah, well, you walk in and say, look at this ring.
Well, not just that. The thing that impresses me about him is his leadership capabilities, because I don't necessarily view Freddie Freeman as a leader, and that's not a knock against him. But with McCann, what he displayed when he was here the first time, when the unwritten rules that he would get upset mm-hmm. about how guys yeah. would handle things from other teams.
Right.
He brings that fire
mm-hmm.
each and every game. And so that's something that I don't know if it was lacking with this team a year ago, but I know in the past that's been a little bit of a question. So with him being back, oh, it's a plus.
Well, they always say catchers make great managers, and Brian McCann always struck me as one of those guys who, if he wanted to take that next direction in his career, possibly could.
And, you know, one thing that I picked up with the interview, John, is that he's really excited about being here in Atlanta, you know, outside of, you know, sleeping, being at home, but just to be here.
Right.
You know, he's excited about being here and what potentially could be.
And rightfully so. I mean, because this team has the makings. And again, we're not done. I mean, talking about Josh Donaldson and Brian McCann, that's just the beginning of this offseason, right? We're not done yet. Oh, no. Trust me, they're going to be – I can guarantee that Alex Anthopoulos is going to have another big move ahead. The Braves are not sitting back going, oh, hey, we had a good year last year. Uh-uh. They are pushing forward fast as they can. All right, let's get into it because I'm curious. What do we got coming up in Hughes World?
Yes, it's a new segment called Unfinished Thoughts by Hugh Douglas that we're going to do in Hughes World. So it's a segment inside a segment. And I'll tell you what I mean about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hughes World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day. Now, I know that for the most part, we're already in Hughes World. But, you know, sometimes we get to talking about topics, John Freaky, that I don't get a chance to really expound on like I want to.
Okay.
And I kind of, you know, it kind of just falls by the wayside because we don't have enough time. So I just thought about this new segment that we just made up, me, Daryl, AT, called Unfinished Thoughts with Hugh Douglas.
Well, not because we just don't have enough time, because sometimes you have to tread lightly.
Okay, there's that. And sometimes I have to pick and choose the words that I want to say very, very carefully. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to go back. And a lot of this has to do with some things that we've probably said in the show and I wanted to comment on that I didn't get a chance to comment on the way that I wanted to.
Okay.
Now, before, why it's still fresh in my mind, Daryl had a problem with me talking to Brian McCann about the whole jersey thing and saying that he should have got a scooter. Now, granted, that's a weird gift before Daryl jumps in, because Daryl gave me the stank face, something serious. But it was one of the first things that jumped in my head when I said it, when he said a nice gift. And I just said, ooh, scooters are nice. And yes, Daryl, it's because I was talking about a scooter. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But to give a grown man a scooter, yes. And somebody on Twitter said something else about the same thing. So, yes, that is kind of weird.
What
so
scooter costs $10,000, though? You said a $10,000 check, and then you turned around and said, ooh,
well,
you can get him a scooter.
Well, because I was doing. Okay,
you,
John,
man,
you ain't got to laugh that hard about that.
That's
but
pretty
the thing
That's
was
what
this,
he said.
This is how my mind was working. When he said, I just have to get him a nice gift. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, dang, the going rate for a jersey or something like that is $5,000 to $10,000 easily, and sometimes even more than that. And I was thinking, if it's just a nice gift, he doesn't have to spend that much money. That's how I was thinking. I was kind of trying to save him some money for the gift. But then I thought about it. Hell, he played baseball.
Right.
He got loan paper. So it don't matter. So whatever he's paying, you know, he pays what he.
So
you know,
if that man gets a scooter, Charlie Culberson, come holler at Hugh.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I was also thinking about, you know, when they go down to you know, for training
spring
camp.
Spring training,
I call it.
Well, his last gift
spring
was
training,
a watch.
It might be a scooter.
It wasn't a Swatch. I mean, it was.
It wasn't a Swatch.
Well, he didn't really say. It could have been a nice watch. I'm thinking maybe Rolly.
Well, but this is what you guys miss most. Most of all, when Hugh said that, I was like, Hugh wants a scooter.
That was my next thing. That's the next thing.
Well, I only wanted for the Super Bowl, you know, to get around town.
That's the next thing.
That's what I wanted for.
I'm lighting your tail up if you ride around here in
no,
the scooter, bro.
I probably will. And then we touched on earlier, this morning, we touched on the whole Reuben Foster scenario where he got let go by the San Francisco 49ers. For dealing with a young lady that says he allegedly put hands on her. This is the same young lady that he allegedly put hands on before, and he's still dealing with her. My thought was this. What the heck are you still doing fooling with that young lady? Now, I'm not saying that he did or did not do it. I'm not alleging. I don't know what the story is. But my thing is this. If you're in a situation with somebody and it's toxic like that, y'all probably need to leave each other alone. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm her father or his dad, I'm like, listen here, man. You know, I know you think you might love her, but y'all aren't good for one another. Because for whatever reason, y'all are not, like, it's too volatile. And you're putting your career in jeopardy. So I would tell him, man, listen, there's not too many people in life that get a second chance or a third chance for that matter. You need to go ahead and move on if you're serious about playing football and leave her alone. Just let her go about her business, wish her well. Hopefully he didn't do anything. We don't know. We got to figure it out. And just move on with your life, man. It's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, if I'm an Auburn fan, if I'm a fan of Auburn Tigers right now, I'm a little concerned about the AD and everybody in the decisions that they're making. You're basically asking Gus Malzahn, because you want to save money, to take a pay cut because you don't want him there. So in essence, you were hoping that he would take he wouldn't take the pay cut so that you could fire him and then that way get out of the money that you've already paid him. Well, to me, that's ridiculous.
Well, part of the unknown there, I don't remember if the AD's name is Alan Green.
And yeah,
he joined
Alan Green,
them
right.
back in February. And I don't know if he was a part of giving Malzahn the new contract or if that
no,
fell under Jake
Jacobs. So. They would have predated Alan Green.
Yeah. Because this is like a $30 million buyout.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a deep buyout, you can't get out of the deal. You
yeah,
just
but my thing is this. How, what, okay, you've already kind of made the decision, I would think. Well, what you're saying is you've made the decision that Coach Malzahn is not the guy that you need him to be in order to take your program where you needed to go.
That's what I took from it.
Yes, but I don't want to give you the money that we owe you, so we're just going to wallow in mediocrity for the next couple of years until your deal is up, and then we'll fire.
And talk about a bad place to be in recruiting if everybody knows that you're just going to be
yeah,
you're
like
there
how,
only to cut down
all
on your,
of that exactly.
Right.
How can you be an Auburn fan and be okay with that, knowing that that's basically what your AD in the school is basically saying?
There's one other possibility, and that is that this is just kind of the public face of a negotiated settlement to allow Gus Malzahn to move on, and that the rumors about Bob Stoops are actually true.
And he's going to come there?
Yeah, well, Bob Stoops has been denying it. But, but boy, there are 1,000 rumors flying around South Alabama about Bob Stoops and the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, but you're going to be wallowing in, like, mediocrity for a while.
Yeah, that's why I don't think – so that's what makes me wonder if, in fact, that this is just the public face of a negotiated settlement between the two parties.
And another thing, my daughter called me yesterday, and she asked me. She said, "Dad, what do you want for Christmas?" And, you know, I did what every other dad does. I say peace on earth because my daughter's broke. She has a job, but she's not making that kind of money to get me the kind of gifts that I want to get. So I would just say to this, people out there that are thinking about getting their dad's gifts or your loved one gifts, put some thought into it, because I looked at a list of like the gifts, like they got a list of 1,000 gifts for men that are really cool.
Okay.
All these gifts are terrible, John.
But did you give thought to the answer that you gave her? You said peace on earth.
Yeah, because it's like with your kids, man. I mean, for me, it's like I know my daughter broke. And I'm not about to
but
ask.
But you're giving
that.
A double answer, though. You're telling people what to do, but then.
No, I'm saying for other people. I'm talking about, I don't want nothing for Christmas. I'm cool.
You know
Christmas
you,
every day.
You want a scooter.
You, exactly. Why this got to turn back on what I want? I'm not going to get a scooter, though, because Daryl already told me he's going to clown me.
Doc, I'm going to bruh. Wherever I am, I will light you up.
But I'm just saying, put some thought into your Christmas gifts.
Everybody who's friends and kids got to pull their money together and buy this man a scooter.
I'll put some money in so I can light him up on it.
Go fund me for a
scooter. You want a scooter? I'll put some money in
it. I'm not going to get a scooter, man. It was just a thought. I already got a gas can, though.
For school, yeah.
Hey, got a couple gas cans. You know me. Got gas in the car at all times.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I mean that's it. I mean, you know, just put a little thought in the Christmas gifts, because I saw something where they had 50 gifts for men, and they said something like dinosaur wine bottle stoppers. That's kind of whack. That is definitely kind of whack. It's like a tea light Brie maker. But I did see one gift that I thought that would be really cool for dad. That's your own whiskey maker. Yes, Daryl.
There was another thought within the thought about the parking at Colony Square.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
Thanks,
listen,
AT, for that.
Y'all at Colony Square, y'all done messed up the rotation with parking, man. How y'all going to put two-hour parking over there knowing that I drive that big old truck and it's hard for me to put my truck in this parking lot? You done messed it up for me. Now I can't even drive my truck to work because I got like the parking on the edge so I can just drive straight out.
Because
my truck's so big, it be hitting pipes and stuff on the roof. Y'all messed up, man. And if I park my truck there and y'all boot it, I'm going to pay the bill and I'm going to be mad, but I'm going to pay that bill because I can't have no boot on my truck. But y'all shouldn't do that. Y'all shouldn't have that two-hour parking right there in the premium parking space.
Well, it's
spaces.
Crazy because it's already no parking
in
there right
now. There ain't
no
parking in this building because y'all doing all that construction.
Do a line.
And then you're going to take 6 premium parking spots and make them two-hour parking?
You know this.
That's
know
to, ridiculous.
You know how to solve that?
What the is?
What?
Drive a scooter.
You know, this segment went from a smooth melody to a raging hue.
And you notice I changed the music up, and you see how he.
Yes. Because I just, thanks for reminding me, man. Y'all ain't right at College Square doing all that construction. Y'all didn't turn the heat off. The heat is off. You got the heat off. The heat is off. If we walking in this building, it's colder in this building than it is outside. And I hope y'all listening. I hope somebody listening. Y'all need to come up off one of them parking spaces, man. You can give me 2 hours. I know it's only 2 hour parking. I'm here for four. Give me 2 hours. I'll be gone by at least 10, 15.
For at least 5.
Okay, 5 hours. At least give me 5. I forgot because I'm
you
thinking.
You know you stay in trouble.
Right, right, right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Somebody might be listening and thinking that I'm coming to work at like 5. No, that is not the case. I get here religiously every day at 5 somewhere every morning.
Right.
5-ish. I get here every morning at 5-ish.
We better go to break before you get in more trouble.
All right, Daniel, I'm done.
All right. That big old clash hits on Saturday, and we partner with Dog Days to host the biggest college football party in town. 90-9 The Game, the official Dog Days Championship tailgate parties at Tabernacle, featuring Kilgo Beats, Clark of the Sacks, huge, huge big screen TV. Starts at 11:30. Tickets and more information about the big viewing party on our events page, at our website, 929thegame.com. When we get back, Brad Childress, head coach of the Atlanta Legends, joins us to talk about the quarterback draft that landed Aaron Murray a spot back in football and in this town. Next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our Georgia Bulldogs versus the Alabama Crimson Tide. The SEC Championship in Atlanta. This game could decide who goes to the national championship. The story continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a very busy and fun Wednesday. I want you to mark down a couple of days, all right? Saturday after the Super Bowl, that will be the debut game of the Atlanta Legends as they play on the road at Orlando. Their first two games are on the road, Orlando and San Diego. And then mark this day down, Sunday, February 24th. Sunday, February 24th, the home opener at Georgia State Stadium as Atlanta, the Atlanta Legends, host the Birmingham Iron in the AAF. And we welcome into the program the head coach of the Atlanta Legends, Brad Childress.
Morning, morning you, Coach.
Guys. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Good, Hugh. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Coach, did you get the guy that you wanted?
Well, we got Aaron Murray. And you know what? For being the all-time leading passer in the SEC, that's quite a statement. I've seen him run around and throw the football when he was at Kansas City, and I really like that guy.
So, Coach, take me through the draft a little bit because it was player protected. So that basically means that, like, you can only draft a player in your region, or how does that work?
Yeah, so you could protect. I think four teams elected to protect a player that was already aligned with them. Aaron being obviously a Georgia graduate, so he fell under our the teams that we have. So. We could have gone by him and said, no, we'll pick after everybody protects somebody. But we protected him. And then from there on, every quarterback that was on your roster, or really you protect somebody, everybody else is available to you that's not protected. So we just had to wait in line and then came up with our next guy, Matt Sims. And, of course, he's been in a couple NFL camps, got a great football pedigree, and I like some of the things he's done as well.
Brad Childress joining us. Yeah, Matt Sims we're familiar with. He was in with the Falcons for a year on the practice squad. So
yeah
we know Matt around here. Brad, this was an interesting draft. It was quarterbacks only, and you're filling your roster out. Can you kind of expound beyond Aaron Murray? Give me a little bit of an idea of what the roster sort of starting to shape up for you as we look at this opening season.
Well, there's two more quarterbacks that we added. We added Peter Pujols from Holy Cross, who started 46 of 48 games. He was signed by the Minnesota Vikings, went to camp with them. I wanted him badly in Chicago when we were there for the draft this past year. He was right from St. Ignatius High School in Chicago. And, of course, he goes to the NFC North rival. I kind of funned with him a little bit. I said, you made a mistake. You should have come to Chicago. You might have had a swing. So he's the third guy. And then Justin Holman from Central Florida, who lives in Atlanta. He went to camp with the Jacksonville Jaguars in their rookie mini camp and up with the Montreal Alouettes. So I like the four guys that are going to be taking the ball from center. And then as far as the rest of the team is concerned, I'm not going to get a chance to look them eyeball to eyeball till they come in here the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th of December for their physicals to Atlanta. And then we'll have like a little one-day mini camp out at Milton High School. We'll meet them down by the airport, get out to Milton, have them run around a little bit. And then I've seen them for good in San Antonio. All the teams are going to San Antonio for training camp, all 8 teams. And I'll see them there the 4th of January. That's when our training camp starts.
So, Coach, what kind of defense you think you're going to run? Is it going to be like an aggressive style of defense, or is it going to be a defense that kind of like, you know, plays a lot of coverage, cover two kind of defense?
Well, you know what? It's going to be aggressive, Hugh, but, you know, they've limited the number of people that can come. You know, being a complementary league to the NFL and in a startup, some of the people like Charlie's dad that was involved in the XFL, Mike Riley was involved in the USFL, they made a big mistake. And, you know, you can't block every single Jim Johnson blitz, you know, with only having a month of practice. So you're going to watch guys block each other and block movement, but it's not going to be every man for himself. There are rules. There are limitations.
Talking with Brad Childress, you know, one of the interesting things about this league, Coach, and you're in this conversation, obviously, is that it is a league where the stars are really, at the moment, the stars are the coaches, because it's Steve Spurrier, yourself, it's, you know, all these big-name coaches, whether it's Mike Martz, now Mike Riley, you mentioned, Rick Neuheisel. I mean, this is a lot of big-name coaches, Dennis Erickson, guys that have serious chops in NFL chops here. So you guys come in with all this kind of knowing each other, so when you ask you about the style of play, you kind of get an idea of what those coaches want to do, don't you?
Well, you kind of do, but it'll be one of those deals like when I used to coach in college, you know, when you look over to the other side and look at what their team's like and then looks on your side and see what your team's like. I mean, we're really going to see all those guys for the first time when we get to San Antonio and say, well, that's a different-looking team, or they look a little bit bigger than us. You know that feeling, looking down that way. Doesn't make any difference, but it'll be really interesting. You know, it always starts up front in football, so it'll be interesting to see which – 5 offensive linemen we have and what kind of defensive pass rushers we have in the defensive line. I think we'll probably play out of an even front. Kevin Coyle, who's my defensive coordinator, was an analyst here at LSU. He's been a coordinator at the Bengals. He's been a coordinator at the Miami Dolphins. So he gets the NFL. We're kind of strapping him a little bit just in terms of how many people he can bring.
So basically, Coach, if I'm understanding this correctly, when you get to San Antonio, you kind of like are picking from like a pool of guys, like you get allotted a number of guys, and you kind of just got to put them together.
We've already got 85 guys on our roster.
Oh, right, okay, gotcha.
And after this mini camp, or actually by December 1st here, which is next week, next Saturday, we've got to cut 10 guys to get to 75.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to camp with that 75. And then have a 52-man roster and 44 guys up on game day.
Talking with Brad Childress, head coach of the Atlanta Legends, they are on Twitter at AAF Legends. And, of course, you know, the Legends getting ready for their inaugural season. You know, this is really going to be, you know, it's such uncharted territory.
It's pretty exciting.
To do this in this way. It's going to be interesting, Coach.
Well, you know what? It really is. And you mentioned the date, you know, when it starts. It starts on CBS the weekend after Super Bowl. It's on CBS. And for all the people that's the saddest weekend of the year with no football, there's going to be football. And, you know, we're starting this thing out with 8 teams, and we're going to play 10 games. We play everybody in the division in Atlanta twice, which is Memphis. We'll play them twice, Mike Singletary's team. Tim Lewis's team in Birmingham will play twice, home and away. Steve Spurrier's team will play twice, home and away. And then we'll play everybody in the Western Conference, which is San Antonio, Salt Lake, San Diego, and Phoenix. We'll play them once. 2 of them will come to us, and we'll go there for 2. So that'll be our 10-game schedule. And then we'll have, a 2-week playoff round where we go semifinals the middle of April and finals probably right late April, early May. And it'll be a good little it'll be something that the NFL has to look at, because you need avenues to procure players. And, you know, you can overpay in free agency. You can do the college draft. You can do the street free agents, but this is going to be another group that were just below the line, or maybe an inch short, or a tick slow. And, you know, Kurt Warner did our draft last night. He's a product of NFL Europe, which is no longer around. And so it's a great developmental thing. And my goal would be, if we're good enough, if we could get 50 guys on NFL rosters, the whole team, and I start new next year, I'm good with that, because you're helping them to realize their goal.
And coach, the other way around, could it be potentially you could see some guys that didn't make the NFL roster come to you and then possibly get back, you know, to have that time to play like they did in Europe, you know, like have that extra time to play on the field? Could you potentially see that?
Right, Hugh. I'm not ruling out the possibility that, you know, when the NFL season ends, because we're doing nothing where the NFL has activity. They don't start off-season training now till late in April. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a big turnover of guys that say, hey, you need to go play. I know I felt that way about A.J. Feely when we were at the Philadelphia Eagles. I almost sent him to Europe, mm-hmm. and then we ended up keeping him and developing him. But sometimes to get better at football, you got to play football, not run a scout team card. You got to play in real physical games so people can see what you got.
Coach Brad Childress has been kind enough to give us a couple of minutes. Coach, a little programming note for you. Your new quarterback is going to be on with us on the show tomorrow.
That's awesome. He's going to have to quit his day job and maybe make football his day job.
No more TV. Right. Coach, do appreciate you taking a few minutes, so we look forward to it. We'll talk with Aaron.
Can't wait
tomorrow.
To see it, Coach. Can't wait to see it.
Thank you. Coach
Childress.
Have a good one. Legends getting ready bye-bye. Again. Their season is right around the corner.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I kind of like the uniforms. Too. They rolled out the unis.
Purple and gold.
Yeah, they rolled out the unis last night. Not a big fan of that purple and gold. But, you know, it's okay. It's okay. But it's okay. I mean, I like the concept, though. You know, I like the concept.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how some of these cities take to these teams. I think I'm most fascinated by how does a town like San Diego react to having a football team after what happened to them with the Chargers?
They're going
to
embrace them because they don't have anything. So they're going to embrace them, and they're going to love them. They're going to hug them.
Coming up top of the hour, Rick and John jumping into the fray on what is a really intriguing Wednesday on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.